Hello, fellow Earth folks. I'm Annie Gigg, GYG, here on CFRU 93.3 FM and CFRU.ca, available wherever you are in the world. Warm welcome to Better Me, Better World, the show for growth-minded changemakers, difference makers, and happiness makers. In the previous episode called Towards Meaning and Purpose, I talked about the importance of getting on the right path by following your directional arrows, being your core values. I likened the BU journey to a hiking excursion, which is much more enjoyable if the way ahead is clearly marked. No matter how clearly marked the hiking trail is, however, if you're struggling under a way too heavy backpack, your progress is still going to be impeded and your journeying will not be enjoyable. To continue the metaphor, this episode is all about letting go of heavy, redundant, self-sabotaging items from your backpack. It's about unencumbering yourself, lightening your load. You may have had opportunity to listen to an earlier episode in which I talked about how each of us has our own unique self shape, formed by all our life experiences and all the choices we've made in response to those experiences up to the present moment. Of course, most of those experiences have been growth positive, meaning they've given you skills and knowledge to fare reasonably well in society. However, throughout your life, you also learned how to respond to experiences in ways that may have been quite beneficial at the time, but now could be sabotaging you. For many years, I held fast to the belief that I'm simply unlikable. In response to that belief, I honed my skills as a master people pleaser, always putting other people's wants and needs ahead of my own. On some level, it got me through. On a deeper level, that behavior was further eroding my sense of self-worth. This section of the BU journey can be rocky, scary, or troubling. I invite you to pick up a sturdy walking stick in the form of non-self-judgment and remind yourself that you're a perpetual work in progress, perfectly imperfect, just like everyone is. That perfect imperfection can be your toxic beliefs, thoughts, and behaviors that you consciously or unconsciously hold. Not dealing with them means staying stuck, sick, and small. The purpose of the BU journey is to move towards greater holistic wellness to enable a grander version of yourself. So far in the Better Me, Better World episodes, you may have heard about standing tall in your starting place because you're a flossom individual beyond self-judgment, uniquely shaped by all your life influencers. Even if you don't yet hold yourself in the high esteem you deserve, you've heard about faking self-love until it becomes real so that you can head out confidently from your starting place. You've heard about setting out on your right path by exploring your values, meaning, and life purpose. The focus in the previous episodes has been on increasing your awareness and appreciation of the one-of-a-kind person you are, who already has everything it takes to become who you're meant to be, to become un-F-withable. Despite all that, it can very much feel like something is holding you back, like you're ready and wanting to take off, but something is anchoring you to the spot. And that something is the weight of toxic beliefs, thoughts, and behaviors. I've been repeatedly referring to toxic beliefs, thoughts, and behaviors in that particular order for a reason. What you believe about yourself and the world you live in shapes your thoughts. Your thoughts about yourself and your circumstance determine the actions you take or your behaviors in any given situation. Changing your beliefs from toxic to affirming has the effect of changing your thought processes and behaviors to enhance your life quality. This episode delves into common toxic beliefs that may be sabotaging you on your journey. Belief number one, I need to live up to others' expectations. Living to others' expectations keeps your authentic, unique self undeveloped and your potential unrealized. As was discussed earlier in the program, you are who you are in this very moment is the culmination of all that has gone before in your life. Your DNA, upbringing, family, friends, community, society, culture, religion, education, work, relationships, tradition, and life experiences, and the choices you made in response to those experiences. All these factors have shaped the person you've become. Because of your complex, one-of-a-kind history, No one else knows you as well as you know yourself. As such, only you can look for and follow the way of your own personal meaning, your unique gift to the world, and purpose, your giving away of your gift. You may not, however, have a clear sense of your meaning and life purpose, in large part because you've been pushed and pulled, told, advised, implied, recommended, led, restrained, pressured, and expected by people and circumstances to be a certain someone and follow a certain course. Might you hold the belief that others' expectations trump your authenticity and uniqueness? Indeed, you can benefit greatly from wisdom and guidance that can often be found in other people, cultural traditions, societal norms. But when your intuition, your inner voice, your heart is telling you that what you've been shaped into by your influencers is not who you were born to be, then it may be that you're attempting to live in accordance with someone else's values rather than living in alignment with your own values, as was talked about in the previous episode. Tuning into yourself and admitting that you may have hindered your own personal growth and happiness by ignoring your genuine self in favor of the expectations of others, society, or culture are the first necessary steps in beginning to live authentically. They are acts of self-love that position you to begin fostering your potential and finding your fulfillment as the real you. Having realistic expectations of yourself in alignment with your values, not someone else's values, is essentially the same as setting SMART goals for yourself, which can serve as healthy motivators for personal development. You may recall from the previous episode that one of the defining characteristics of a SMART goal is that it is relevant to you, not someone else. As I alluded to in an earlier episode, one of my parents' expectations of me was to emulate their faith practice, and up until middle age, I attempted to rigidly live up to their expectation, even though something felt off. I'm in no way disparaging that faith practice, but only when I enabled my brand of spirituality to thrive did I find a genuine, empowering connection with my higher power. Another example of me abandoning my true self in favor of expectations, this time from the corporate world, has to do with me feeling pressured to achieve, climb the ladder, work harder, faster, longer, go, go, go. The real me is much more turtle-like, I now know. I'm in my element in a slow-paced environment. That's where I belong. Since accepting my true turtle persona as opposed to the expected hare persona, I'm happily, authentically inching along. Do you hold the belief that it is your duty or obligation to live up to a societal, cultural, familial expectation, even if that expectation does not feel aligned with your authentic self? Can you let go of that toxic belief? Toxic belief number two, I'm guilty and I don't deserve to forgive myself. If I hold on to my feelings of guilt, then I'm deservedly punishing myself. But before I talk more about guilt, I want to distinguish between guilt and shame, shame being the subject of toxic belief number three. Brené Brown explains the distinction very nicely. Brené is a research professor at the University of Houston who spent the last couple of decades studying courage, vulnerability, shame, and empathy. She's the author of 5 number one New York Times bestsellers. Says Brené, guilt is a focus on behavior. Shame is a focus on the self. Guilt is, I did something bad. Shame is, I am bad. Guilt is, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Shame is, I'm sorry, I am a mistake. With that distinction, let's talk guilt. Not forgiving yourself can be a major obstacle on your way to self-love. Might you often be more forgiving of others' mistakes than your own? Do you hold yourself to a higher standard of performance than you do anyone else? In doing so, you position yourself on a pedestal of perfection that's all too easy to fall off of. The fact is, everyone makes mistakes. It's a human condition. However, if you accept the premise that you always make the best decision based on the things considered and known to you in the moment of decision-making, then there really is no justification to not forgive yourself for your choices, however wrong or ill-advised they may seem in hindsight. A mistake stays a mistake only until you learn your lesson from it. Life lessons are opportunities for you to grow into your wiser self. Non-forgiveness and holding on to guilt sap your time and energy. It's self-flagellation preventing you from focusing on converting mistakes into life lessons and keeping you stuck in believing you're not worthy of self-love. Would your time and energy not be more beneficially spent by eliminating the guilt and replacing it with restorative action? Steps 8, 9, and 10 in the 12-step program for Alcoholics Anonymous speak to healthfully repairing damage when you are guilty of harming someone else. I expand on the steps to include the self. Actionizing this process of repair can help you let go of guilt and allow you to focus your energy on understanding the life lesson presented to you in your mistake. Here are the steps reworked for the BU journey. Step 8. Consciously note when you have deliberately or accidentally harmed yourself or someone else, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, or physically, and commit to making amends. Step 9. Directly make amends to yourself or others, as the case may be, whenever possible. It's always possible to make amends to yourself. However, amends should not be made to others when to do so would further injure them or others associated with them. Step 10. On an ongoing basis, take inventory through introspection to identify occasions of wrongdoing to yourself or others for which you may be holding on to guilt, and admit the wrongdoing as soon as possible. "To err is human, to forgive divine," said Alexander Pope. How better to fan the divine spark within you than to practice self-forgiveness? I invite you to stand in front of a mirror and ask the person in the mirror if they're holding on to guilt about anything at all from their recent or distant past. If so, gently and non-judgmentally ask the person in the mirror who is being helped by their holding on to that guilt. Ask how it would feel if the guilt disappeared, the self-flagellation ended. Assure that person in the mirror that you're falling ever more deeply in love with them and you don't want to see them holding on to the pain of guilt anymore. Toxic belief number 3, I'm shameful and blameful. The toxic twins of shame and blame keep you shackled by ball and chain. But did you know you hold the key? Self-awareness sets you free. This rhyme is taken from a short audio story I wrote about my experience with shame that kept me small and sick and stuck for decades. I shared my story in the Better Me, Better World episode called The Shadow Self. Shame about who we are or our circumstances, sometimes because of what we've said or done, keeps us from living fully as our authentic self. Shame is a painful feeling of humiliation, distress, or unworth caused by the belief that we are fundamentally flawed or broken. Shame is toxic to self-love and happiness. And like guilt and non-forgiveness, holding on to shame takes a lot of energy that could otherwise be used to live life fully and freely as our real selves. Dr. Brené Brown, who I introduced earlier, says you hold on to shame by keeping secrets, remaining silent, and judging yourself. However, you can let go of shame when you A, no longer try to hide it, B, no longer refuse to talk about it, and C, no longer attach judgment to what you see as the cause of it. Destroying shame requires you to forgive yourself and overcome perfectionism. It requires you to be able to say, I'm human. I make human mistakes. I'm not a human mistake. It also requires a key ingredient, self-compassion. The word compassion is derived from calm, meaning with, and passion. When you have compassion for someone, you are with them in their passion, sharing their emotions, with a strong desire to help alleviate their suffering through the sharing. Self-compassion means you are extending compassion to yourself when you feel shame. When your forgiving, non-perfectionist, non-judgmental self embraces your hurting, ashamed self, like when a mother embraces her suffering child, the pain of shame diminishes. With practice and patience, shame is eliminated. As with every healing journey, the first step is recognizing and admitting to the cause of your pain, in this case, the shame that is undermining your happiness. After moving out of denial, you're enabled to begin taking the actions described by Brené Brown to replace shame with self-respect and self-esteem. With ongoing practice, your new shame-busting thinking and behaviors become habit because of the new neural pathways you've created. Shame can no longer find a way in because the old pathways it used have been closed. I mentioned that shame has a toxic twin. It's blame. When we humans feel ashamed or are otherwise hurting, we tend to blame others or circumstances or a perceived failing in ourselves for our pain. Blaming creates the illusion of being relieved of responsibility to address the source of your shame or disappointment. It implies that a fix is outside of your control and puts the onus on the person or circumstance or characteristic of yourself that you perceive as the cause of your dissatisfaction. However, you can never be certain that another person will or can do what it takes to make you happy, or that circumstances will change to make things better. In blaming, you are giving away your power to bring about change, and you stay stuck where you are and unhappy. As with non-forgiveness of yourself, perfectionism, and shame, blame is a waste of your good energy and fuels unhappiness. The moment you stop your finger pointing and look inward instead, you begin to take back your power to become the change you want to see in your life. By focusing on yourself, you can determine what is within your control to change and begin the work to make it happen. You're also able to determine what's outside of your control and therefore not worth investing your time and energy in. The only thing you have control over is yourself. It's virtually impossible to change someone else and often very difficult to change certain situations in your life. I again invite you to face yourself in the mirror and with great compassion, ask the person in the mirror if they feel shame around who they are. If so, ask the mirror person what doable step they can take to begin the process of bringing that shame into the light of day, talking about it, and stripping away all judgment around it. If there's blame attached, what can the person in the mirror do to begin to take back their power, i.e. assume responsibility for what needs to happen? If you haven't already listened to the Better Me, Better World episode called The Shadow Self, that talk might shed further light into your darkness. Toxic belief number 4, my perspective, my worldview, is the real and right one. It's not what you look at that matters, it's what you see, said Henry David Thoreau. And each one of us will look at the same thing and see it differently. Is my perspective right and yours wrong? Is my view of the world the informed view and yours is inaccurate? Do you hold the belief that your perspective, your worldview, is the real one and people who don't see things the way you do are misguided? The only way to make progress on the BU journey is to discard that belief. In an early episode of this program, it was said that the BU journey is for anyone who accepts that they create their own reality, or if not yet fully accepting of that, is able to act as if they accept it. When you accept that you create your own reality, then it follows that everyone else also creates their own reality. In quantum physics, it's a given that reality comes into being only through an interaction. The sound of a tree falling in the forest doesn't exist unless the sound waves interact with some sort of hearing device, like an ear, to transform the waves into actual sound. Although radio waves are out there, unless the tuner on your radio interacts with the frequency of the radio waves, you don't hear music. In the context of this episode, your version of reality exists in the interaction of your mind and the stimulus that you experience through your senses, what you see, hear, touch, smell, or taste. Because your mind is the unique product of everything throughout your one-of-a-kind life history, the outcome of that interaction between your mind and your senses, i.e. your reality, is going to be different than the outcome of another mind interacting with the same stimulus, i.e. another person's reality. So a person's perspective on something, whether the glass is half full or half empty, could be different than yours, but the difference in perspective doesn't mean one is right and the other is wrong. They are what they are. Sharing thoughts with someone holding a different perspective can indeed cause us to shift our perspective, and vice versa. Letting go of the belief that your perspective or worldview is the only legitimate one has two main benefits. Firstly, it prevents you from judging another person's perspective, and secondly, it empowers you to develop and benefit from the skill of reframing, looking at something from a different perspective instead of the default perspective based on your life learning and habitual thinking. You may recall from the second episode, Journey to Holistic Wellness, the examples given of different realities around a car accident. Your default perspective may trigger you to react to stimuli in a counterproductive, debilitating way. With the skill of reframing, you can choose how you want to react to a situation or stimulus. Reframing is related to attitude adjustment, which I'll get into in a later episode. I invite you to think of a situation or person that triggers you to respond or react in an undesirable way. Consider your default perspective, your habitual view of that situation. What new way could you look at the circumstance or person that would enable you to respond or react appropriately in a manner that's aligned with the person you want to be? Toxic belief number 5. I'm too afraid of failure, success, or change. Many of us hold the belief that failure, success, or change are things to be afraid of. How do you let go of that belief? Whatever fears you hold are born out of your life experiences. Like all your beliefs, they initially came into existence as a defense mechanism. For example, a healthy fear of heights keeps you safely back from dangerous cliffs. But taken to the extreme, acrophobia keeps you from attending the important meeting in the executive boardroom on the top floor. For most of my life, I held on to the debilitating belief that if I failed at something, that means I'm a failure as a person. My fragile self-esteem caused me to equate failure to lost status, rejection, not being good enough. At times, my fear of failure made me procrastinate and not try my best, because then if I failed at something, it was simply because I didn't give it my best shot, not because I was incompetent. To what extent did I hinder my way forward by not putting my best self out there? Other times, my fear of failure fueled my perfectionism, again keeping me stuck, over-investing my time, energy, and attention in getting it exactly right, instead of me being able to move ahead and be okay with good enough. Ironically, I simultaneously feared success. If I was to succeed at something that was meaningful to me, like acing an exam in a subject I really liked in high school, I was afraid of the derogatory comments of others. Brown noser, teacher's favorite. In the workplace, I feared being promoted into management because my relationship with my peers would change. Fearing success kept me out of alignment with my values of achievement and growth. Failure and success are actually the flip sides of change. Many people fear change because it's difficult to anticipate the outcome. Your brain hungers for certainty, the safeness that comes with knowing. The fear of change keeps you safely within your comfort zone. But as it said, life begins at the edge of your comfort zone. So how do you let go of the fear of change, whether by failure or success, and venture beyond the limits of your comfort zone? Well, all the content covered so far in this program is about embracing change instead of fearing it. You let go of the fear of change when, one, you keep in mind that the lifelong process of becoming, as in becoming uneffwithable, and life itself is all about change. Two, you accept that there is no fault to be found, no judgment around the place you're starting out from, i.e. where you're presently at, and you can stand tall in your starting place. Number three, you fake it until you can make it. You act as if you have no fear until that acting becomes the real thing and the selfies of self-love start flourishing. Number four, you get into alignment with your values and the irresistible pull of living a life of meaning and with purpose overpowers the fear of change. Number five, you let go of the redundant toxic beliefs weighing you down and holding you back. If it was totally impossible for you to fail, what would you try doing that you've been avoiding? If you could wave a magic wand and suddenly you and your life were exactly the way you want them to be, what would you notice is different from the way you and your life are now? What are you afraid of that's interfering with these things becoming reality? Toxic belief number 6. I need continuous approval and validation. Do you believe you need approval from and validation by others? A need for approval or validation by others means you're not yet in a place of being comfortable enough in your own skin to accept and respect yourself for who you are, regardless of what others think of you. You continue to reach out to others to confirm if you're okay or on the right track. Seeking validation of your worth is not the same as seeking advice or feedback from a knowledgeable, trusted person, which is wise, or benefiting from someone cheering you on as you reach for your goals, which is healthy moral support. An unhealthy need for validation by others is when you regularly rely on others to help you feel good about yourself or to make decisions. As a child and adolescent, you appropriately looked to parental figures, teachers, other adults, and peers for approval and validation. It's part of growing into an adult with a healthy sense of self and social astuteness. During these formative years, seeking approval and validation is like having training wheels on your first bicycle to help you safely get around while you're learning the balancing skill you'll need to ride your bicycle without the training wheels. If, however, you continue to rely on the training wheels on your big person bicycle, you'll be greatly slowed down and you'll never develop confidence in your ability to keep balanced on your own. Regular seeking of approval and validation from others inhibits your growth of self-esteem, self-confidence, and self-worth. In the process of fostering your selfies of self-love and eliminating your saboteurs, such as the fear of failure, your reliance on external validation will decrease and eventually disappear. In the beginning, it's acceptable and beneficial to act as if you already are skilled at self-approval and self-validation until the skill becomes real. You can help disable your dependence on validation by others when you begin to validate yourself. Lori Deshane, originator of tinybuddha.com, says there are 5 ways to validate yourself and become part of your own support system. These are, number 1, practice self-affirmation for the aspects of yourself that you're grateful for. Number 2, instead of reaching out to another, say to yourself what you would want the other person to say to you. Number 3, allow yourself to feel how you feel without attaching any judgment to your feelings. Number 4, see yourself as the child version of yourself, asking the loving parent version of yourself for support, guidance, and advice. Number 5, kindly ask yourself what you need right now to feel better, healthier, stable, and more balanced. How committed are you to beginning the practice of self-validation whenever you feel the need to seek approval and validation from someone else? And with these questions, I've run out of time, but there's more on letting go. I invite you to tune in for a talk on letting go some more in episode 9, Better Me, Better World. I'll be back same time next week, same place here at CFRU 93.3 FM or CFRU.ca. The shows are recorded, so alternatively, have a listen when it works best for you. Until next time, be you. I'm Annie Gigg.